Well, Israelis have woken to a new era. Their longest-serving Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is gone. Toppled after an historic vote, saw the country's parliament approve a new eight-party coalition that includes an Arab party for the first time. Netanyahu rose to power, fanning the flames of division. As opposition leader in 1995, he stood before far-right crowds that chanted "Death to Rabin," meaning the then Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, known for his peacemaking with the Palestinians. Soon after those protests, Rabin was shot down, murdered by a Jewish extremist in a Tel Aviv square that is now named for the slain leader. And it was into that square, Rabin Square in Tel Aviv, that thousands of Israelis poured to celebrate overnight after news that the new government, led by far-right figure Naftali Bennett and centrist Yair Lapid, was sealed. Under a power-sharing agreement, Naftali Bennett will be Prime Minister for the first 2 years. He spoke of returning the country to normal.
We are at the start of new days, hardships. It's not an exaggerated word in this case. The hardship of establishing the unity government is behind us. And now the people of Israel, everyone, have their eyes on us, and the burden of proof is on us. We will work together in partnership and responsibility to mend the rift in the nation and immediately bring the country back to a normal functioning one after a long period of paralysis and quarrels.
Naftali Bennett there. Well, after 2 years, the former TV news anchor Yair Lapid will take the reins for the remaining 2 years of the coalition's term. But Mr. Netanyahu has vowed to stay on as opposition leader and says he will be back soon, and his supporters were vocal on the streets too overnight. Well, Liam Gertroy is Executive Director of the New Israel Fund Australia. We spoke earlier.
He's been an extremely strong leader. He's been able to keep a tight hold on his coalition of right-wing and ultra-Orthodox parties. He's been able to, at least in the eyes of some, deliver very strong results on security and on, public security. But what he hasn't been able to do is make any progress in solving some of the real challenges inside Israel and with the Palestinians. And that's why over the last, like you said, 2 years and four elections, the opposition candidate, Yair Lapid, and others have been able to continue to build momentum and now last night finally culminate in a new government.
Now, it's an extraordinary moment because Netanyahu stands as the longest serving Israeli prime minister. But Even given that we've reached this moment, it was just such a fight to unseat him, wasn't it? Is there still something inside Israel that wants a Netanyahu as leader?
Definitely. He definitely has a significant group of people who support him. But what's remarkable about this new coalition is the breadth of it. There is hardly a group of Israeli society that isn't included in the new coalition. Everyone from his former colleagues and party members, people like now Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, who was once his chief of staff and his defence minister, Gideon Saar, who was a former senior ally of his in the Likud party, everyone from there to Yair Lapid, the now alternative prime minister, who is the next prime minister to be in line, and he was finance minister under Netanyahu, and then the Labour and Meretz parties on the left wing, and even for the first time in Israel's history, an independent Arab party, the Ra'am party, an Islamist party, included in a governing coalition. The breadth of this both signals a new era of Israeli democracy, a really positive step. It certainly also means that it's going to be a particularly unstable coalition, maybe. It's hard to predict how long it will last. But it does show that even though there is a group of people who support Prime Minister Netanyahu and the demagoguery that you explained before, there is a wide spectrum of Israelis who want change. And it's great to see that they've been able to bridge their differences and come up with a plan to try and deliver new solutions.
Okay, before we get more deeply into that, let's just dwell on Netanyahu again for a moment. I mean, some say his legacy is a strong, confident Israel, some economic success, certainly success with the COVID pandemic and getting the vaccine out, and fewer Israelis dying in wars. Are they legitimate pluses on Netanyahu's side?
As much as there has been some successes that Netanyahu had, like you said, getting COVID vaccines into people's arms, and they were a success early in trying to stop the spread of COVID, what is maybe easy for us to gloss over is the tens of thousands of cases that Israelis had, a very, very detrimental second and third wave of the virus. So I'm not sure that it's fair to give him a tick in that regard. Financially, Israelis, the rich Israelis and poor Israelis, there has never been a bigger gap between them. There's been no ability to move forward on addressing the climate crisis in Israel, which Israel, given its place geographically in the world, will be affected more than most countries. There's no way that I think we could call Netanyahu's 12 years of premiership a success. He, like you said, targeted relentlessly human rights organizations. He promoted anti-democratic laws, racist laws aimed at Arab Israelis. I think for some who see it as a success, it's because maybe they experience that success. Mm. But there are a lot of people who are left behind.
So the new government, you said, you know, it's obvious, isn't it? Eight parties, very divergent ideological positions. The idea is to try and work together on whatever they can achieve initially. I mean, how long can this survive for, do you think?
Well, they all have an interest in having it survive as long as possible. They have all taken, particularly the new Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, have taken a big risk in bringing this together. It was only a few months ago that Naftali Bennett was calling his now coalition partner Mansour Abbas and this Islamist Ram party terror supporters. And now he relies on them to build his coalition. So they've all taken risks in order to build this together. They all need it to survive because another election, what will be a fifth election in just a few years, has the potential to decimate them. Naftali Bennett is prime minister. He only has 7 seats out of 120 in the Knesset. It's a very small margin of error that he has going into a future election campaign, and he would definitely want to avoid it. There's also, I think, a feeling, particularly among the leaders of these parties, that Israel needs a bit of a break from Prime Minister Netanyahu, and it's on their shoulders to make sure that it happens. A break from the policies he was pursuing, even though some of them may have agreed with some of those policies, but also a break from the you know, the drama of him being in court, in a Jerusalem court, defending himself on corruption charges that have been brought against him. Israel, I think, from their perspective, needs a break. They call themselves the Change Coalition. They need this government to stick together as much as anyone. How much they can achieve and agree on, we'll have to wait and see. But I think they'll be doing everything they can to avoid another election anytime soon.
And Netanyahu said, you know, we will come back. You don't write him off easily, do you, Netanyahu? He's a bit of a magician. Do you think he could return?
Look, anything's possible. I think until actually the vote happened, everyone was very on edge about what exactly he would be able to pull out of his hat. He hasn't been opposition leader in a very long time. I think he very much enjoyed the comforts of office. That is what a number of his corruption allegations and these corruption cases are about, after all. How much tolerance he has for being a formal member of the opposition will be interesting to see. How much he can, you know, cause trouble even outside the parliament if he were to leave. We'll have to wait and see on that one as well. I think, again, it's in the interest of this governing coalition to stay together as much as possible. Parties who haven't been in government in a long time have an opportunity to push their agenda, and they will want to take advantage of that.
And it's got to be a long way still, though, until there's discussion about reviving peace talks with the Palestinians, for example. There's so much to do domestically first, isn't there?
There is a lot. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, which is still a very strange thing to be saying, you know, 12, 15 hours later, Bennett is in many ways more right-wing than Benjamin Netanyahu, more committed to annexation of many parts of the West Bank, of Jewish settlements in the West Bank. But on the other hand, the events of the last 6 weeks, the violence that we saw in Jerusalem and also between Israelis and Palestinians in Gaza and rockets coming into Tel Aviv, that has, I think, taught all of us that as long as no solution is offered, as long as there is no progress to try and bring together Israelis and Palestinians and figure out how to solve this conflict, it will keep happening. So Naftali Bennett may not want it to be on the agenda. Other parties may not want it to be on the agenda. But as long as it remains unresolved, there will be more violence and, unfortunately, more death until we're able to solve these core elements of the conflict.
Liam Gutroy, thank you so much for speaking with PM today.
Thanks, Linda.
Liam Gutroy is Executive Director of the New Israel Fund in Australia.